Chapter 28, The Wrongful Road of Abuse, Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Joseph F. Smith. We should never abuse others, but should show compassion and tenderness to all, especially to family members. From the life of Joseph F. Smith. President Joseph F. Smith was a tender and gentle man who expressed sorrow at any kind of abuse. He understood that violence would beget violence, and his own life was an honest expression of compassion and patience, warmth and understanding. On one occasion, President Smith said, "I witnessed a little circumstance in our meeting this afternoon in the aisle. A little child was sitting by its mother on a seat. Somebody came along and took the little child off its seat and occupied the seat himself, leaving the child to stand. I want to say to you, my brethren and sisters, that that act sent a pang to my heart. I would not for anything grieve the heart of a little child in the house of God, lest an impression should be left upon its mind that would make the house of worship a distasteful place, and it would prefer not to come within its walls than to come and be offended." President Smith often counseled his brothers and sisters to treat each other with the greatest kindness. Violence or behavior that demeaned another person was unthinkable to him. Husbands and wives were to hold one another in the highest esteem and teach their children by example to respect family members and all other people. Teachings of Joseph F. Smith. We should treat each other with the greatest respect and courtesy. Let us conquer ourselves, and then go to and conquer all the evil that we see around us, as far as we possibly can. And we will do it without using violence. We will do it without interfering with the agency of men or of women. We will do it by persuasion, by long-suffering, by patience, and by forgiveness and love unfeigned, by which we will win the hearts, the affections, and the souls of the children of men to the truth as God has revealed it to us. God has made us in His own form and likeness, and here we are male and female, parents and children, and we must become more and more like Him in love, in charity, in forgiveness, in patience, long-suffering and forbearance, in purity of thought and action, intelligence, and in all respects, that we may be worthy of exaltation in His presence. Parents should love and respect each other and treat each other with respectful decorum and kindly regard all the time. The husband should treat his wife with the utmost courtesy and respect. The husband should never insult her. He should never speak slightly of her, but should always hold her in the highest esteem in the home, in the presence of their children. The wife also should treat the husband with the greatest respect and courtesy. Her words to him should not be keen and cutting and sarcastic. She should not pass slurs or insinuations at him. She should not nag him. She should not try to arouse his anger or make things unpleasant about the home. The wife should be a joy to her husband, and she should live and conduct herself at home so the home will be the most joyous, the most blessed place on earth to her husband. This should be the condition of the husband, wife, the father and the mother, within the sacred precinct of that holy place, the home. Then it will be easy for the parents to instill into the hearts of their children not only love for their fathers and their mothers, not only respect and courtesy towards their parents, but love and courtesy and deference between the children at home. The little brothers will respect their little sisters. The little boys will respect one another. The little girls will respect one another, and the girls and boys will respect one another, and treat one another with that love, that deference and respect that should be observed in the home on the part of the little children. Then the foundation of a correct education has been laid in the heart and mind of the child at home. Husbands should treat their wives with tenderness. Think what it means to hold keys of authority which, if exercised in wisdom and in righteousness, are bound to be respected by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Do you honor this priesthood? Would you, as an elder in the Church of Jesus Christ, dishonor your wife or your children? Would you desert the mother of your children, the wife of your bosom, the gift of God to you, which is more precious than life itself? For without the woman, the man is not perfect in the Lord, no more than the woman is perfect without the man. I cannot understand how a man can be unkind to any woman, much less the wife of his bosom, and the mother of his children. And I am told that there are those who are absolutely brutal, but they are unworthy the name of men. When I think of our mothers, the mothers of our children, and realize that under the inspiration of the gospel, they live virtuous, pure, honorable lives, true to their husbands, true to their children, true to their convictions of the gospel, oh, how my soul goes out in pure love for them! How noble and how God-given, how choice, how desirable and how indispensable they are to the accomplishment of God's purposes and the fulfillment of His decrees. My brethren, can you mistreat your wives, the mothers of your children? Can you help treating them with love and kindness? Can you help trying to make their lives as comfortable and happy as possible, lightening their burdens to the utmost of your ability, making life pleasant for them and for their children in their homes? How can you help it? How can anyone help feeling an intense interest in the mother of his children and also in his children? If we possess the Spirit of God, we cannot do otherwise. It is only when men depart from the right spirit, when they digress from their duty, that they will neglect or dishonor any soul that is committed to their care. They are bound to honor their wives and children. Intelligent men, men of business, men of affairs, men who are involved constantly in the labors of life and have to devote their energies and thought to their labors and duties, may not enjoy as many comforts with their families as they would like. But if they have the Spirit of the Lord with them in the performance of their temporal duties, they will never neglect the mothers of their children, nor their children. Fathers and mothers, do not drive your children away. Oh, my brethren, be true to your families. Be true to your wives and children. Teach them the way of life. Do not allow them to get so far from you that they will become oblivious to you or to any principle of honor, purity, or truth. If you will keep your boys close to your heart, within the clasp of your arms, if you will make them to feel that you love them, that you are their parents, that they are your children, and keep them near to you, they will not go very far from you, and they will not commit any very great sin. But it is when you turn them out of the home, turn them out of your affection, out into the darkness of the night, into the society of the depraved or degraded, it is when they become tiresome to you, or you are tired of their innocent noise and prattle at home, and you say, "Go off somewhere else." It is this sort of treatment of your children that drives them from you. Our children are like we are. We couldn't be driven. We can't be driven now. We are like some other animals that we know of in the world. You can coax them, you can lead them, by holding out inducements to them and by speaking kindly to them, but you can't drive them. They won't be driven. We won't be driven. Men are not in the habit of being driven. They are not made that way. You can't force your boys nor your girls into heaven. You may force them to hell by using harsh means in the efforts to make them good, when you yourselves are not as good as you should be. The man that will be angry at his boy and try to correct him while he is in anger is in the greatest fault. He is more to be pitied and more to be condemned than the child who has done wrong. You can only correct your children by love, in kindness, by love unfeigned, by persuasion and reason. Fathers, if you wish your children to be taught in the principles of the gospel, if you wish them to love the truth and understand it, if you wish them to be obedient to and united with you, love them and prove to them that you do love them by your every word or act to them. For your own sake, for the love that should exist between you and your boys, however wayward they might be, or one or the other might be, when you speak or talk to them, do it not in anger. Do it not harshly, in a condemning spirit. Speak to them kindly. Get them down and weep with them if necessary, and get them to shed tears with you if possible. Soften their hearts. Get them to feel tenderly toward you. Use no lash and no violence, but approach them with reason, with persuasion and love unfeigned. May the fathers in Israel live as they should live. Treat their wives as they should treat them. Make their homes as comfortable as they possibly can. Lighten the burden upon their companions as much as possible. Set a proper example before their children. Teach them to meet with them in prayer, morning and night, and whenever they sit down to partake of food, to acknowledge the mercy of God in giving them the food that they eat and the raiment that they wear, and acknowledge the hand of God in all things. Suggestions for study. What does it mean to conquer ourselves? How can we win the hearts of our children and others to the truth? How can husbands and wives treat each other with utmost courtesy and the greatest respect? What are the benefits of doing so? When parents treat each other with respect and courtesy, how does their behavior affect the behavior of their children? What are the best ways in which we can influence others to live righteously? See Doctrine and Covenant, section 121, verses 41 through 44. What are some kinds of abusive behavior that contradict this counsel from the Lord? How do we sometimes drive our children away from us? What might happen to us and our children if we drive them away? Why is the parent who corrects a child in anger at greater fault than the child? What might a parent do when he or she feels anger at children? How did the Savior treat little children? See Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 through 15, and 3 Nephi chapter 17, verses 11 through 24. What was his warning to those who abuse little children? See Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. How can we keep our children close to us and to the principles of the gospel? What are the blessings that come to those who keep their children close to their heart? End of chapter 28, The Wrongful Road of Abuse, Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Joseph F. Smith. Read by Scott Tippetts.